Samuel chapter 3, and Brother McVeigh asked me specifically to go over what I'm about to say here. Miss Mindy, good to see you and your husband here. I'm real glad you guys made it. Real blessing to me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to read something here. It says this, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. So who's calling Samuel? The Lord. Okay. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. First point I want to make is this. We're going to have people in these services who will hear the voice of God but will not recognize that it's God.
Amen.
It's going to happen. One of the things we hope you get out of this week, we hope that through the preaching of the Word of God, you'll learn how to recognize when it's the Lord calling you. That you'll know how. And you won't think, well, that's just Brother McVeigh on his hobby horse again. Or that's Brother Astor on his hobby horse again. And, Zach going to do it again. You won't be thinking that. We want you to recognize the voice of God, who God is, and that He'll call you. Okay? Now, one of the tragedies in the year 2015 are how many people in fundamental Baptist churches who do not know Jesus Christ. What they know is the culture of fundamentalism. They grew up with the culture of fundamentalism. If you were a Mormon, you'd have grown up in the culture of Mormonism. You wouldn't drink, you wouldn't smoke. I've lived on the Wasatch Front in Utah. I remember going there thinking it looked like an ivory soap commercial. But it really did. It's one of the most wholesome places I've ever been in my life. And there's not a bit of Jesus Christ in it. Okay? I heard Naam Akbar preach. Naam Akbar was 30 years ago, one of the great black Muslims. I've heard him preach. It's some of the most convicting preaching I've ever heard against cigarettes, booze, dressing right, fornication, and all of that. He was a black Muslim. I remember him mocking the students at West Florida University in Pensacola, Florida. I remember him mocking them. And you call yourselves in charge of your life, and you can't even give up that little cigarette. It's not control of you. And I remember thinking he could preach at any fundamental game.
That's right.
Okay? If you're a true black Muslim, you'll give up all that stuff. They dress right, that it's all down the line. If you go ahead and you go to a Jehovah's Witness church, those ladies are dressed right. They're out there, and they're that way. If you catch them at home or wherever, it's their culture. And what we have now is a generation of people who've grown up in the culture of fundamental Baptists but don't know the God of the fundamental Baptists.
Yeah.
And they don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that. So what we're hoping,
What we're hoping is this week that some of you will learn how to recognize the voice of the Lord when he's talking to you, when it's him. That's what we're hoping for. You see, revival doesn't happen when the drunk on the street gets saved. Revival doesn't happen when the people in the bowling alley get saved. Study the great revivals of history. It's when the church people start getting saved.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's when the great, and by the way, that's what the fundamentalists are determined will never happen.
That's right. Yep.
They are the ones stopping it. No, no, you're already saved. No, no, no. They're determined not to let that happen.
Yep.
They're determined never to let that happen in their church. Last thing they want is their deacon going forward, their piano player going forward. It's the last thing they want. But it's what God wants.
Sure it is.
Hey.
Never before have fundamental Christians been in as impoverished a position as they are today.
Yeah.
Most fundamental churches are fundamental culture centers. What do I mean by that? Well, you go to the big cities, you might find an Italian cultural center. Do they speak Italian at home? No, they speak English at home. Do they wear Italian clothes at home? No, they wear clothes they got at Walmart. Do they eat Italian food at home? Maybe once in a blue moon. But they love going to that Italian culture center, and they start talking the language and dressing like they did in the old country and eating the food, and everybody high-fives. They want their son to marry somebody from the Italian culture center. And that's really what most fundamental churches have become today. They've become fundamental cultural centers.
That's right.
People don't live like that at home.
Yes, sir.
They just come to church and put on the dog. And this is what we are. You know? That's how we dress. That's how we talk. This is what we do.
Yes, sir.
These young ladies here from Pennsylvania, I took them aside and I explained something to them. I said, I've lived on three continents. I've lived all over the United States. And I said, I do not know a church anywhere as successful in raising young people as Pastor Black's church. I do not know one. I don't even know one that comes close. Where if you find those girls at home, you find them anywhere, there's no change. No change in dress standard, no change in anything. Just absolutely whatever they are. There's no veneer, scratch, blood comes out, it's not a veneer. Okay? But that's rare.
That's right.
That's one of the rarest things on God's earth. Most of the time, just put the dog on. I often tell my people, I don't act like a jerk. This is not an act, it's the real thing. Okay? Whatever I am in the pulpit, I am in other places. I've had people say you shouldn't act like that in the pulpit. Maybe so, but I'm not a hypocrite. I'll say it out there, I'll say it here. Now, I've had some things I shouldn't say out there, and I've said here. And I've repented before God. I could take you to a place in the Radio Shack in Wellsville, New York. Where I had to gather all the people together and say, by the way, I owe everyone here an apology. Because that thing that I said yesterday, I would have never said that from my pulpit. And I said it in front of you people, and I owe you an apology. I never haven't said that. I would have never said that. They're all kind of embarrassed and such, but I think they had a little respect. But I just knew I was getting nowhere with God until that got said. Okay? Getting nowhere with God until that got said. Okay? Getting nowhere. So we're hoping during this week some of you will learn to recognize the voice of God. Okay? Now, I want you to look at two other places. I want you to go to Ephesians 4, verse 30. Show you something only a child of God can do. Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Okay.
It's a total security that verse. I won't go into it immediately. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by your seal unto the day of redemption. Now, you can't grieve someone who doesn't love you.
That's right.
Those of you who have children, you know what grief is. You know what it's like to be grieved by your child. You're not grieved when the neighbor kid, like you might love the neighbor kid, but you're not grieved when you open up the paper and find some kid did a foolish thing. You might be mad, you might be upset, you might be indignant, but you're not grieved. You're grieved when someone you love does something grievous. That's what grieves you. So one of the things in here, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If you belong to God, you go out of your way not to grieve. When I first got saved, I remember getting hold of 1 John 1:9, that idea that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I remember some of those first times going to God, telling him, oh my God, you saved me, look what I did today, and the fellowship restored. But I remember after I'd been saved maybe 6 months to a year, going and confessing my sins and the fellowship not being restored. And I knew it wasn't restored. There was still something wrong. And I remember pining for days because it was still something wrong.
Right.
And one morning I got up and it hit me and I just got on my knees. I said, Spirit of God, I have grieved you. And it was all gone. The fellowship was restored. Dealing with a person, not a machine. Dealing with a person when we're dealing with God. Three persons, really. If you learn to distinguish them and fellowship with them. Each one is an individual personality, and the Bible explains it to you to let you know that. But the thing is, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You grieve Him by Him loving you, you belonging to Him, and you doing behavior that is grievous to Him. The Bible says don't do that. But I want you to see something else you're told. We're going to turn there. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. This is a different commandment. Quench not. Spirit. It's not the same thing.
That's right.
Okay? People here quench their thirst, they don't grieve their thirst. They're two different words. Quench not the Spirit. What's the difference? Well, you have the shield of faith that you might quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Might give us a hint. Let me explain something to you about medieval warfare. In warfare in those days, when arrows were used, cities would be built with walls around them. And a lot of times you come in, you might besiege that city, and so it's a guess now. Can you hold out longer than the invaders on the other side? So one of the things that would be done is you could take your arrow and put it in burning pitch and shoot it over that wall. And that arrow would land, maybe in a thatched roof hut, maybe in a dry field, maybe somewhere you didn't want it to land, and it started to burn. Okay. Now everybody says quench is, it means get off. No, that's not, you don't quench arrows by doing this. You quench fiery darts. You quench a fire. How would you do that with a shield? How would you quench a fire with a shield? You'd go take that shield and put it over that fire. That's how you quench a fiery dart. You don't do it by stopping it. That didn't quench it. Still burning. That isn't what it's talking about. That isn't what Paul said. He didn't say block all the fire darts. He said quench them. Quench them. What's that mean? You're walking down the road and all of a sudden, whoop, a fiery dart hits. What's that fiery dart? Well, some wicked thing comes in your head. Maybe some bitterness or something somebody's done to you.
That's right.
Okay? Some bitterness. It's just out of nowhere it came. You know, my wife said that to me last week and it's just getting wrong. I mean, it started to burn. Okay? Her old brother so-and-so down to the church, you know. I'm just sick of what he says every Sunday. It's just starting to burn. We all have that happen. You're to take the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Take something from the word of God and put that fire out. Put that down over it. Reason with God. Say, you know what? Well, my Bible commands me to be long-suffering to brother so-and-so. Oh, brother so-and-so, you know, if I had to live his life, I'd probably be twice as bad as he is. Okay, that's right, brother. And so you take the shield of faith and you quench a fire that's started. You quench it. You didn't stop it from starting. You quench that thing. You don't let it go on anymore. Okay, that's what it means to quench. That's how you do that. Then how do you quench the Spirit? The Spirit of God tells you to do something and you reason your way out of it.
Yes, sir.
You go up just like you would with the shield of faith and you convince yourself and God why it doesn't really mean it and you don't have to do that. Okay?
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of that goes on in this kind of
thing.
Awful lot of it that goes on.
That's
Spirit
right.
of God's trying to tell you to do something, and you keep reasoning your way out why it doesn't apply to you. Why that could never mean me. No, I'm never going to do that. I don't know whether it's your pride. Some of it's just you're so tangled up in your thinking, and it's going to take a miracle to untangle you. It's just going to take a miracle. It's the only thing that's ever going to do that. So quench not the Spirit. You listen. How do you know whether something is from the Spirit of God? A, it will agree with the Word of God. Okay? It will agree with the Word of God. When it comes, it will be in proper context. Everybody knows the joke, you know, open your Bible, Judas take and hang himself, next verse, make therefore do likewise. That's not context. That's wrestling context. But if you have verses that are context, and you know this is really dealing with where I'm at, and here's what these verses say to you, that's from God.
Right.
That's from God.
Amen.
Don't quench that Spirit. Listen. Listen. Okay? The Word of God will come with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It will come with those things. I've had times so deeply troubled in my heart, wondering what to do. And an idea came into my heart, and the same time the idea came, one of the old hymns in the face started just bursting and playing in my heart at the same time. Oh, I got verses telling me that's the Spirit of God. Tells me that. I know that. And I'm so happy because he's come to me with those things. It's just enlightened my heart. But I can't tell you how many times I have convinced myself it wasn't so. Reasoned my way out of what God was prompting me to do.
Yes.
A missionary friend of mine told me one time, he said, God, he had about $500, and God was just really working on him to give that money away to somebody, and he finally, absolutely, positively quenched the Spirit of God and convinced himself that no, he shouldn't. He went through all the reasons in his head that he could never live without it, he couldn't be without it or anything else. He won. He beat God. And he said he went home after that meeting and opened up his mailbox and there was $500 that somebody sent him. And he wept. He wept at his disobedience. He wept realizing all that time God had provided for me and I argued and I fought God. And he was so ashamed of the money that he had. And he said it was just one of those bitter moments of his life when that check was sitting in the mail and realized that he'd won. My son Michael over here, when he was 10, was mowing our lawn one time. I love to tell this story. And, you know, anything that's ever been in our house, most of my boys are really good with their hands. And the first time one of my boys was good with their hands, I wanted a DNA test. I mean, I absolutely could not believe that somebody that came out of me was good with their hands. But most of them have been good at it, and I think it's been survival. But the thing is, we had a lawnmower that when you're going along with it, the bolt would come out on one side and the handle would fall off. Down there and put it back on or whatever again. Old Michael's 10 years old. He's out there mowing that lawn. I never could afford gas money, so usually by the time you're mowing it, a goat would be better. It's half up your waist or whatever. He's trying to mow that lawn and such, and that bolt kept falling out. So old Michael got pretty good, you know, getting under there, getting that on with one hand or something. One day, whack, snaps, you know, blade knocks top finger off. It's just hanging there, that old thread. Mother calls me and she's calling the
emergency room, and I'm racing down the road, and blinkers on, and they're waiting at the emergency room. This kid had come in, and he goes in there and such, and man, they take him in, and they're operating, put that finger back, and he's got that finger back on there. They put that finger all back on there. Well, you know, the first thing the doctors want to know, they want to know, is there abuse in the house? And thank God the doctors.
Amen.
Thank God they did that. Don't you be upset with those doctors when they're trying to find out if their kid's being abused. You listen, and you go along with it, and you listen to what they're saying, okay? But that doctor's kind of feeling it out, trying to find out how did this happen. Michael explained to him, said, well, you know, I reached under there, and I turned it off, and then the doctor wanted to know, well, wasn't there a safety on that handle? Wasn't there a safety on it? And if you let go of the handle, the lawnmower turned off? Michael said, yeah. Doctor said, wasn't it real hard to hold that down with one hand and get the other one under there? Michael said, yeah. Doctor said, you won. You won. Remember that guy, you won. Some of you,
yeah.
Break my heart, you're going to win this.
Yeah, amen, brother, yeah.
You're going to win it. Once again, God's going to come and try to deal with you. Once again, God's going to try to get where he wants you, and you're going to win it. May the most bitter, awful win of your life.
Yes.
Don't let that happen. Brother McVay. Amy, do we want to shut this off? Okay.